In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And today we have a very, very special guest. We are joined by the baby coach, author of the very famous book, one that I have memorized, 12 Hours Sleep by 12 Weeks, Susie Giordano. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
We're very excited to talk to you. Brittany also has your book memorized.
I use it as my Bible for both of my kids. So...
okay, so how did you get started as a sleep coach, baby coach? How did all this happen?
Well, I'm originally from Brazil, and I moved here 30-some years ago. And when I came, in vitro was just starting. So there were a lot of greater multiples. And a friend asked me to help a friend. And of course, once I got her baby to sleep through the night, she told another friend, I told another friend, I told another friend. And all of a sudden, Washington, D.C. area, there was this, you know, buzz about this lady from Brazil that could get all triplets, quads, quints sleeping through the night at the same time. So I got my mom to come and help me out. I got my sister to come and help me out. And I want to say... 5-6 years into it, my sister say, hey, you know, there has to be a science behind this. We came up with a method just by try and error and observing, you know, because you work with babies all night, you're up all night, and you're observing what exactly is happening to them, which is fascinating, became the love of my life is, you know, to work with babies.
That's so interesting. That's completely different from what I would think that how you came up with this. Which is fascinating.
Because first I made a lot of mistakes with my own first three children. My last children were two boys, twin boys. And then there's no joke because now I had a toddler and two older kids. And it's like, hey, I need to come up with something. You know, like my dad actually said, you know, you need a plan. You can't go by everybody's, you know, people have different opinions, but at the end of the day, you got to do this. So I did it. And then I came to the U.S. when the twins were like almost a year old. And I started working. And I was like, well, I'm going to just replicate what I did with my own children, you know, and replicate in different scenarios. I was like, oh, hey, wait, they can all do it? Yeah.
So what is the science behind it? Like, why does it work?
Well, it has nothing to do with me. You know, so I had the opportunity to read a lot about sleep. Sleep is a basic need. Oxygen, sleep, water, and food. You can go longer without drinking and eating than you can go without sleeping. So it's not one of the pillars of health. It's the foundation. There's no health without good sleep. So every baby can do it. Under any circumstances, every human being sleeps at night, independent of gender, age, you know, anything. We all need to reboot. We are a biological machine that reboots every night. So that's why it works. Now, what I've learned by working with so many babies, because they're so new and open to the newness of what we introduce them, that if you start at an early age, you know, you can bypass a lot of bad habits and sleepless nights and big spells of crying. So it's a very natural process. Once the baby stabilizes, it naturally falls on the night and day cycle of sleep, you know. So it's very basic and it's scientific, and it's so basic that it's scary. But because it's a primary need, once the parent and the baby goes without, then it becomes this insurmountable problem. It's like, oh my gosh, my baby is never going to sleep. Honey, your baby is going to be 18 before it never comes. So, but it feels that way because it's so necessary.
Right. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of what the 12 by 12 method is?
Well, as I took care of babies at night, what I noticed is once they reached a certain weight, the circadian rhythm would fall into place. The baby would start sleeping longer at night and be more alert during the day. So we needed more calories during the day, so we needed less calories at night, right? It's like a car. You don't put gas in a car that's parked in the driveway. You put a gas in a car that's actually active. And that, you know, going on the road is the same thing with babies. So I start writing it down, right? Okay, so when they reach this weight, they naturally start eating more. When they need more, they go longer. When they go longer, they sleep longer. Okay? And so all I did is observe and write down. So the baby coach method is, and what it has evolved, and I address that a lot on my new book, is it's not sleep training. It's allowing your baby the opportunity to try. Is giving your baby room to grow, to develop their own abilities, just like walking and talking. You can't walk and talk for your baby. So what do? You teach them how to do it. You clear the floor. It's like, come on, stand up, put one foot in front of the other. How do they do it? Because as a species, they are designed to walk in two legs. They don't walk in four legs. They walk in two legs. So the whole process has its timing, and it started with 12 hours, but the baby coach method has evolved to that place where if you give your baby the opportunity to try, not to cry endlessly, just to try, your baby will naturally develop their own abilities of putting themselves to sleep, stay asleep, and wake up happy.
So you said the 12 by 12 method is now kind of different than what your approach is now. Is it generally still kind of the same with the four steps, with the one you focus on the 4 hours?
Yeah, what happened with 12 hours? 12 hours specific, 12 hours of sleep by 12 weeks old, right? So when the baby first comes, that first trimester, how to naturally fall into place. Now, if you miss that window, okay, so 12 hours by 12 weeks, we focus a lot on how much the baby's eating, the feeding schedule. Why? Because nutrition is very important. The number one thing is the baby has to be gaining weight. You know, the baby needs to stabilize before you have any expectations of the baby. After 12 weeks, you know, like they call the 4 months regression. I call the 4 months progression because now they're learning, they're engaging with the environment because they have stabilized. So, it's the baby, it's the same method where you give the baby the 3 minutes, you know, you allow the baby, you help the baby, you know, get to a point where they emotionally, they're in a place where they can learn and you step away. So the basics are the same, but now, I have to communicate with parents that have older babies, 6 months, 9 months, you know, 12, 18, 2 years, three, four. What, you know, does it ever end? No, it never ends. You can develop good sleeping habits at any age. It's just the kids is easier, although it looks harder.
So do you think that it's harder the older the child gets before implementing any type of sleep structure? Like if you have an 18-month-old that you've never implemented any type of sleep structure, is that going to be more difficult?
Well, the baby's going to be able to communicate better their frustration, right? You got into an agreement with them. Okay, I'm going to rock you all night. And all of a sudden, you want to break the agreement. It's like, well, you know, this is not working for me. And every breakup is not easy. But once you know the importance of sleep, and with compassion and kindness, you can say, no, honey, now it's time. Mommy's ready, and I know you're ready. And that's an important step, you know, is that when it comes to babies, everybody's well-intentioned. But you have to be ready to enforce it. You have to be ready to walk that path with your baby. Now, the sooner you do it, the easier it is. Why? Because your baby the habits are not so, you know, set. It's like the neurological connections are not there. So then once you create the habit, then it's like, okay, now I have to break the habit. And all that a habit is like, I call it agreements. It's like, okay, now we've done this way, now we're changing. You know, and the thing with sleep is very fluid. It, you know, it's always like you're, and you have to make peace with that. Oh, my baby's sleeping through the night, and all of a sudden now, you know, they got sick or went on vacation. Everything is out of whack. I tell parents, it's like the schedule is to set you free, not to make you hostage of it. So if the vacation is there, go to the vacation. The more you expose the baby, the more flexible the baby is going to be. And everything is a lesson. Struggle is there to expand you, to make you better, to make you stronger. Don't shy away, you know, because once your baby's sleeping 12 hours, you don't want to mess it up. Well, yeah. You're not messing it up. You're just teaching them how to do it in different situations.
Right. I like that. What I really like about your method versus many different, I guess, training methods is that it's a gentle approach. Like there's very little crying or anything like that involved. And it's focuses more on like the eating schedule. But I have a question, and this is a personal question, but just general, because I know we've had like listeners write in. Once you've succeeded, your baby doesn't eat at all through the night. They've dropped all their feeds, but is still sort of waking up in the night, not to eat, but just to like whine or whatever, and you haven't implemented any bad habits. I don't rock. She goes to sleep awake, you know, all of the all of the things. There's no picking up. How do you decide like when to go in or not to go in? How do you, because I'm still not sleeping all the whole night because of that.
Your baby has her own timing or his own timing, you know, like things are going to happen on his own timing, not yours. So what does a parent do? A parent makes sure that your baby's healthy, your baby's safe in the crib, your baby is in an environment conducive to sleep, your baby's in an emotional place where they can learn. So does your baby need you? Is she crying because, oh my God, somebody needs to help me? Or is she just like, well, but she's not asleep, Susie. Well, you gotta give her time. You know, like this is going to happen on her own timing. Now, the way that this works is practice. We learn through practice. Repeat, 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 repeat until we learn. So every time, every night, that's what you have to tell yourself, because this is very emotional, right? Because before you're a parent, you're a human being. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. This kid needs to go to sleep. I'm exhausted. And she doesn't go back to sleep. So that's your sleep needs talking. You know, I tell babies, you should ask for the car key. They'll give you at 16 weeks. Probably not at 16 years old, but they will give it to you at 16 weeks. So it's that kind of like, you have to hold it back. You have to give it room to grow. Practice at night. Practice in the morning nap, practice in the afternoon nap. Every time you practice good in sleeping habits, it's, you know, all work towards the same goal, which is the baby develop their own independent abilities. So if she's not emotional, you know, say, hey, let's say after Susie, but it's like in between like being hysterical and being like not asleep. As a parent, you can always go in. Let me check. Is she 1 pee away from leaking? And, you know, once you check, everything is good. Hey, sorry, honey, you gotta keep trying. And that's back and forth. So what I tell parents is go to the edge where you're like, this is my poor baby. 1, 2, 3, go in.
Right.
Push yourself beyond the discomfort, because growth is, you have to cross the threshold, the squeeze of learning. It's not pleasant, but necessary.
Right. She's not crying. Like, she's just kind of like whining a little bit. And I just am stressed out. I'm like, is she okay? But she's fine. I can't.
And I always tell parents, when it comes to your baby, not Susie, not anybody knows your baby better than you do. You're there on the ground, you know, all the time. So trust that. But that little voice that say, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be, you know, rocking this baby. You know, I like what you said, I know she's okay, but still she's not going back to sleep. So, you know, lower the monitor a little bit so you can get some sleep. You know, shush yourself. You know, one of the things that I've learned that I think parents need to explore more is the most sophisticated way of communication between that exists is emotional communication. Okay, we can even communicate through species. We can communicate, you know, like you can see a kid suffering in war and you're like, oh, that hurts you. You know, that you hurt for that kid. You see a flower blooming in the sun and you smile on the flower. That's communicate with your baby on an emotional level. So when you go in, it like calm yourself, shush yourself. It's okay, honey, I know it's so hard. Because as you talk to them, you're calming yourself down. And when you calm yourself down, that's the energy it went in. Not like, now what? What's wrong? Or, oh, my poor baby. You know, like, oh, it's like, no. What is the emotion you want them to get? It's like, hey, what's going on? I have long conversations with baby. I know it's so hard being used to 2 o'clock. I understand that. I heard that too. People say, oh, you have the magic touch. It's like, no, I just know what the parent needs and what the baby needs emotionally, me to be in control, which takes practice.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So you have a new book out. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Yes, The Room to Grow,
yes,
The Baby Coach
Method.
Yes,
The Room to Grow. Yes, because, you know, I still work with babies because I never want to forget what I ask of parents, which is to let your baby cry for 3 minutes. It's the longest 3 minutes there ever was. You know, like it goes into the core of who we are. We, as women, we were designed to tend for a crying baby. So to hold back and wait for a second, you know, wait for a minute, allow your baby the chance to try to find, to figure out on his, on her own. And so a lot of people come to questions with me because it's like, okay, my baby's sleeping through the night, but now it's, you know, 16 weeks and now all of a sudden they're waking up, or 9 months, or we went somewhere and, you know, now my baby's waking up. Sleep is fluid. You know, life happens. You know, you go on vacation, go enjoy. Hey, I stay later. You know, I didn't put the baby to sleep at 7 o'clock. Good for you. So that's what Room to Grow is. Room to Grow is 4 easy steps for older babies. Babies that already know how to communicate. The 5-year-old is like, but I don't want it. It's like, I know, honey, you don't want it. But so how do I do it? How do I communicate at 3 minutes with a kid that now has a vocabulary? You know, that knows me, that knows my limit, knows how far they have to, because you're dealing with a magnificent piece of biological machine in its optimal performance. So they belong on Wall Street, you know, making deals, because they can run a bargain. You know, they can do it. And so I always tell people, I'm afraid of babies. So they know you, you know, like the knowledge is mutual, and they love you as much as you love them. And that's what sometimes gets missed in the message. Nobody's more disappointed at a baby that doesn't sleep, especially a 2-year-old or 3-year-old, than themselves, you know, because they want to do what the parents want them to do, but it, yeah, this, you know, like the, this impulse, irresistible impulse to run out of my bed and go after my parents. So they feel like they fail. So and that's what Room to Grow is about, is the baby coach method that you apply to kids all the way to elementary school.
I'm excited to read that. So I know there's a lot of different methods out there, different types of training, some less gentle than others. And then there's also the non-method, like some people who believe that training, you shouldn't adjust a baby's sleeping at all. Like you're just, they'll naturally fall, like figure it out. How do you like speak to that?
Yes. Well, what I learned in my experience, you know, is that when it comes to baby, everybody's well-intentioned. Some things work for some people and some things don't work for some people. You know, like if you're a parent of one baby, I'm going to sleep with my baby, which is not safe. But hey, it's your call, it's your baby. So I think what we need to do is most of it support what each other's choices are. And then choose what's best for us. I have found, and that's why I have Room to Grow, that at some point, because sleep is a primary need for the parents too, that inability to self-soothe is going to spill on everyday behavior. And then they are not going to want to eat. And then they're not going to don't want to cooperate. So it's like, as you're traveling that path of like, okay, you are the captain of the ship. And you is entrusted to guide and teach your child, prepare them for society. What you don't teach your child, life will. Life is not as kind. So no, the world does not turn around you, sweetheart. You know, like no, you have to wait for your turn. You have to learn how to cooperate. You have, you know, we don't get only yes. We get a lot of no's. And that's how I believe our method in a gentle way puts the parent in the captain's chair where it's like, okay, it's my job to, number one, listen. You know, listen to, he is a human, a little human in its own glory and not to be dismissed, but they're not, it's too much responsibility and they're not yet prepared. I tell parents, which is something that sometimes makes me sad, the journey of the baby is to break free. The journey of the parent is to let go. So you slowly let go, you know, from the crib to the room to the house to the world. And it's tough because we want to protect them. We want them to be happy 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we know the reality that's like, no, you can't stay up until midnight. It's not healthy for you. But I want it. I understand, sweetheart, but you need to go to bed. And they're exhausted, but they don't know how to recognize that they are tired. And so everything when it comes to children, and that's why I don't judge anybody. It's like it comes from a good place in their heart, you know. And at some point, what I have found is like good habits, like good sleeping habits are fundamental for good health. And sleep dependency, it's not a good habit. Why? Because you depend on somebody outside of yourself to find the happy place. You know, when you go to bed and it's like, oh yeah, you know, you go to that spot that is like, only you know where that spot is. It's like, oh yeah, I'm asleep. That's where you're teaching your baby. It's like, find your spot, find your happy place.
Yeah.
I can't find it for you. You can't be
that spot for them either.
No,
right.
Because what if you one day, because you're not, you know, you can't be all the time at all places forever. Then it's like, okay, you told me I'm the center of your world, but honey, but I have a meeting or your sister needs me or, you know, I need to go to the bathroom. No, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Nobody outside of yourself should be should have your treasure. Your treasure is within you. You know, so I know it's very rewarding. It's like, oh, my baby needs me so much. Yeah, but what if one day you're not around?
So like a lot of parents opt to start with their child sleeping in a bassinet in their room, and they might not start with them sleeping in a crib. At what age do you think it's appropriate to move the child into the crib, into their own room?
Well, ideally now, you know, like this is a personal choice. But anywhere between, 6 months to a year old, whatever the parent is comfortable, because different pediatricians have different opinions about, no, the baby should be in the crib. You know, there are all these monitors that monitor the baby. No, the baby needs to be in your room. So whatever you decide to go, you should do it. The only thing you need to remember is, what do you need to sleep? I need dark. So if the TV is in your room, if you're going to have your baby in your room, guess what? The TV is going to have to be off. Mm-hmm. The light's going to have to be off, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to have that extra layer of a caution that, you know, not to wake them right. up. But they learn. They learn right. how to manage all those
right.
noises and things that are around the created by other people.
Part of the method is to, like you're saying, to put baby in a dark room with a sound machine. But do you think it can be successful without those things?
Yes, absolutely. Those are just like to facilitate our lives, because it's like, you know, when you go to a spa and they have the water running and it gets you in the mood, it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do that for you, baby, look. But eventually, and that's what I tell parents, that you want to make it as easy as possible for them to learn. Once they learn, it's overstaying your welcome. Then take away the noise machine, so they learn how to do it without it, you know? And that's the thing. These are moving parts, and you're always a step ahead, because you want to be like, okay, I want to challenge my kid, you know, because the more you challenge them, the more you see the magnificence of them, because they show more and more. Like, yeah, now I'm going to take my baby, and my baby's going to sleep on the floor while I'm having a glass of wine with my friend. And the baby sleeps on the floor, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're magic. No, you're brave. Okay. Yeah.
So in terms of like the transition from the crib, so whenever you decide is right for you, or after 6 months, whatever, what's the best kind of method? It's obviously you're changing that baby's environment significantly that they have been sleeping in. So what, and let's say you do the same thing, you have the same sound machine, you have the same darkness, but what are other ways that you can ensure that that transition is smooth?
Yeah, well, the baby, very basic. The room is dark, the room is cool, the room is soothing. It's calming, right? And then you're teaching something new to your baby. So you expect a little, like, hey, this is new. But what do you do? It's like, okay, we're learning something new today. You and me, you know? So I'm going to put you there, walk away, 3 minutes, wait. Does he need me? Does she need me? Maybe a little bit. Shh, it's all right. You know, like, talk to them, bring them from the emotional place where they're not learning, they're upset, you know. Okay, pick them up if you have to, like, oh, honey, we're going to be okay. When the baby's calm, let's try again. Put it down. Walk away. Okay? Until the baby falls asleep. But what if the baby doesn't fall asleep? The baby will. It's tired. It's, you know, clean. Just ate. It's not... Nature's on your side, powerful ally. It's like, oh, baby, I'm going to make it impossible for you not to fall asleep. And because he already has done it, there is that thing of the habit, you know. Mm-hmm. Try to go into a room that's nice and cold. You're exhausted. Try to stay awake. not a baby, because a baby doesn't have worries or, you know, bad right. hookups. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll sleep.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we're going to move on to some listener questions. We received a bunch, but we sort of compiled them into some of the most popular questions that we received. So first one is, what's the deal with dream feeds? How do you feel about that?
The dream feed is a feed that you create to accommodate your schedule. You know, let's say I'm not against it. You know, ideally, if you don't have to do it, I like to always listen to the baby. If the baby is like sleeping, waking them up to have a feed, trying to avoid a feeding later on in life and in the night, I think is disrupting the natural process. And nobody knows better how to get the process fast than nature. So you interrupting a natural tendency. But I think it's valid. For example, it's like, no, Susie, I want the baby to eat at that point and then sleep because I need my sleep because I have a meeting at 7 a.m. Okay. You know, I believe if you let the baby go and then one day the baby wake up at 1 and then at 3, chances are you're going to train that baby within a week. With a dream feed, it might take 2 to 3 weeks, you know. Take a little longer, but you have your reasons. So do what works for you.
Do you have a trick for calming a fussy baby?
Calming a baby is not my job. It's the baby's job. My job is just to reassure and love the baby until they get it together. Okay? So it depends on the level of the emotional, like when you're hysterical, even if you're an adult, so you hold them tight, it's like, it's okay, it's all right. Human contact it's powerful. Shushing is powerful. Why? Because it reminds of the circulation of the blood of the mom in the womb. So shh, that's how the blood goes. Shh. So it's, and hearing is the first sense that we develop, right? And so you want to calm a baby, turn on a faucet, the water's like, oh, for 9 months, they were in a bubble full of water. So water has a tremendous impact on us. So movement, go around padding. Now, usually the younger the baby is, okay, it might be related with something physical. The older it is, it's more about emotional. Let's say a 9-month-old, Susie, I'm trying to break this habit. So the baby's like, oh my God, you know, like you're breaking your contract. You said you were going to hold me all night and now you change your mind. Ah! So they're very hysterical. And then you go in, you make things worse. It's like, oh my gosh, they're, you know, their head's going to explode. They're so upset. So go in, shh, pat, pat, pat. I love you so much. You know, dry the tears. After 3 minutes, they're still losing their mind. I'm sorry I couldn't be of help. I'm going to put you down so you can try again, okay? I'll be right back. Go out, get your emotions in control. Go out of the room. You know, the oxygen mask first on yourself, and then you can help everybody else. So it's like, okay, I'm going to reset myself so I can come and be more of help. So it's not, so you're putting them in a safe place. They're still crying. They're out of their mind, so upset. Go outside. Calm yourself until you feel your muscles kind of breathe in 10 times, breathe out 10 times, 3 times, go in. It's like, okay, now I can help you better. Shh, shh. What you thought, you just thought that baby, number one, self-care. All like unintended lessons that you repeat throughout life that they learn. Okay, self-care, number one. Number two, well, she's not giving up on my crying. This is not working. And they're smart. If it's not working, they're going to change their tactics, you know? So, or they're going to give up, oh, I'm tired. And, you know, by the time they have the ability to do that, they're old enough to give them a lovey, you know, like, honey, it's going to be all right. Walk away. Repeat back and forth. Back. I'm here for you. But I'm not going to do what you want me to do because that will get in the way of you learning yourself. So you cannot walk for them, but you can walk with them, which sometimes is harder, you know, to go get back in that room. You're like, I don't want to go back, but you got to go back, honey.
It's tough.
It's tough. It's like the toughest thing you've ever done. Yes.
It is. So what are your opinions on wake windows? And how long should they be?
Well, it depends on the age. The usually when they're very young, an hour, hour and a half. And as they get older, they're able to manage big longer periods of awake time. So it's being in tune with your baby every mother knows, like, when the baby is like, oh, the eyes, they're always like, you know, they change their whole demeanor, you know, like the rushes. So, you know, oh, the baby's tired. And if you notice that and you look at the clock, oh, you ask any mother, oh, usually around 1.5 hours, 2 hours, they're pretty tired. Put them in the crib. Turn on that water. Make it impossible for them to give in, you know, like, so to fight and walk away. Okay, I'm going to allow you to try. Give them the opportunity to try. That's the magic.
But I have a follow-up question to that. So
sure.
If you're currently like fully submerged into sleep coaching and, you know, the baby is now 2.5 months old, you're really trying to get them to, or 3 months old, I should say, and really trying to get them to get accustomed to what, you know, sleeping and eating a specific amount of ounces during the day, and you're following this strict regimen, it's kind of hard to be so fluid with the timing of everything where if you see your baby after an hour is so tired and they need to go to sleep, but you're kind of like, well, but the baby needs to stay up for 2 hours because then the baby needs to eat 6 ounces in order to stay on schedule. So how do you kind of catch up with all of that?
No, don't drive yourself nuts. Baby steps, you know? I always tell parents, like, oh, Susie, I need to put my baby in a 4-hour schedule. Well, honey, 10 minutes at a time. You know, the idea is like, I want to make the baby a little hungrier so they can eat a little more, so they can go a little longer. Okay.
Right.
If this time around, because the baby was active within an hour and you're only going to feed the baby in an hour, it's like, let the baby take a 30-minute nap, you know, just to keep the edge off. What that's going to do is actually going to work in your way, because then the baby is not going to fall asleep in the bottle. You know,
right.
It's all about compromise. It cannot be too rigid. And that's like the book, yes, 12 hours by 12 weeks. We wrote it. You know, it was specially designed for multiples. So it's like, you know what I wanted with that book is like the mechanic in the small town that tells the person, say, you know, you get that screw and goes until it clicks, your car is fixed. You know, it's a book that's straight to the point, okay, without any nuances. But at the same time, and maybe that I failed to say that, is like, adjust everything I'm telling you to your baby. Nobody knows your baby better than you. And this is not going to happen overnight. This is a long-term gig. So tomorrow you get to do it all over again. It's not all over today, but oh my God, I failed. No, honey, tomorrow, guess what? You're going to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
So we'd like be compassionate with yourself. Hey, this in the morning didn't work, but the afternoon worked. Hey, I did good.
Yeah. I think that, like how you said, little at a time and just patience goes a long way. Like you can't have it all. I found that when I was trying to figure it all out, when I was forcing something to happen, it often backfired. When instead I like really just paid attention and learned my baby's like cues, like a certain type of whining means she's tired. Oh, okay. It's not time for her, but whatever. She's tired. Maybe she went like and played with one too many pictures. So she's actually tired. So put her to nap. And then when that started happening, that developed really good patterns. So it's not the external forcing does not help. It's the listening and the intuition. And sort of
yes, and
helping them along. The
schedule and the timings in between naps and feedings, the awake time in between, they're all goals.
Right.
Ultimately, we're gonna get there, but you're not gonna get there overnight. You know, like so, you know, in 1 or 2 days, it doesn't work like that. So the more you listen to your baby's cues, and then the more you listen to yourself and what you are capable to, you know, to do it day in and day out. The in is the consistency. That's the key. You know, like you're always pushing a little until you get to the 3-hour schedule. Yay. Okay. I'm a pushy broad. So I want 4-hour schedule. So it's 10 minutes at a time. Okay. 4 hours. Yay. You know, but there's always, I tell parents, parenting is not black, it's not white, it's gray. It's not the baby's way. It's not your way. It's the middle of the way. Like, okay, let's compromise. Right. You know, because they're not going to go quiet. They're not going to do what you want them to do. It's like, hey, I'm my own person. You can't tell me what to do, honey. Yeah, like, no, you can't. So it's that, you know, that being in awe of this little human, you know. But remember, you're raising an adult, you know. So that is where the work comes in. It's like, what kind of adult I want my daughter to be or my son to be? And then you teach them lessons. But it's a long gig. It's a demanding gig, being a parent, you know, like emotionally, physically, intellectually. It's repeat 907,000 times before they say, okay, I learned, you know. And just like that. And then now I want to learn this. It's always like repeat. Don't bite. Say yes, say please. You know, like it's tough. So that's why we have to be kind with each other. And we have to, like, hey, go easy on each other. Do what works for you. But, you know, hey, this works. You should get it.
Room to grow out now.
Room to grow.
Okay, so we're going to move on to another segment of our podcast. This one is called Go Ask Your Mom, and we have a listener-submitted question, and she is asking about fixing her baby's sleep schedule. I'm sure you've probably heard this scenario thousands of times. Mm-hmm. Dear Aileen, Brittany, and Susie, what are some tips for a consistent sleep schedule? My son's sleep is so sporadic. One week he's sleeping in until 6:30 to 7 a.m. without waking up. The next he's crying 1 to 2 times in the night with a 4:30 a.m. wake up. We stick to a very regular nap and nighttime schedule. During the day, he typically sleeps from 1.5 to 2 hours in the morning and 1 hour in the evening. Bedtime is 7:45 p.m. We noticed that his night waking started when he got sick with a cold a month or two back and hasn't been on a regular schedule since. We rock him or give him a bottle if he's fussy in the middle of the night. But if he's up any time after 4:30 a.m., he will not go back to sleep. I can't figure out why his sleep varies so much week to week. Tired and also sleepy bitch.
Yes. Well, once you feed the baby in the middle of the night, you just broke the pattern of behavior. So now he doesn't know, should I eat in the middle of the night or shouldn't I eat in the middle of the night? And whatever calories he gets at night, he won't get during the day. Okay? Because like adults, baby will need a certain amount of calories. Whether it's coming at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m., they don't care. Okay? Now, so the first thing you have to do is like, okay, feeding is off the table. It's like us. You know, you're not used to wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, and have a sandwich. But if you start doing it, then now it becomes a problem because now, you know, you're eating in the middle of the night. And the one thing that takes the most expenditure of calories is digestion. And the body should not be digesting food in the middle of the night. The body, after 12 weeks, the body should be in that dormant stage working on the cellular level. Okay, the body needs to be... So how do you do it? You go back to the basics. 3-minute rule. Now, if you gave a big bottle, it's like, so let's go half a sandwich, a quarter of a sandwich, and then no sandwich. So with babies, I don't say to just take it away. No, it's slowly, you know, cut back in, and then you hire Susie. Susie goes there. Okay, so what is this? So you don't have an answer. So what usually I tell parents is like, go get some data. Go into the nursery after the baby's asleep. Sit there for 10 minutes and look around. Am I missing something? Is there a clock there that is, you know, glaring at the baby? And then, you know, artificial light disrupts the sleep cycle. You know, if the baby looks at a clock where you and I would turn away, the baby's going to focus. The baby focus hormones are released into the brain. I'm awake. I want to party and nobody knows why. So scan the room. See what am I missing about this baby? Now, is it common? Extremely common. Why? Because 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., now your baby has slept for 7-8 hours. So it's somewhat rested. So having the ability to go back to sleep or snooze until time to wake up, it's the next level. It's the marathon, not the 5K. from 7 to 2 a.m. is the 5K. Now to do the from 2 to 6, now it's a marathon. It's a different thing, right? So you need to practice. So where you get that practice? During the naps. Okay, so chances are, if your baby's waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and does not manage to go back to sleep, their chances are the naps are irregular too. So what do you do? Oh, my baby needs more nap practice. Okay, learn how to self-soothe 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon. Once he's able to sleep for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours. Once you have that, okay, we're practicing self-soothing at 4 a.m., at 9 a.m., and at 2 p.m., guess what? 4 a.m. is going to be the first place you're going to see improvement, because now I learn how to put myself back to sleep when I'm not extremely exhausted. It's easy to fall asleep when you're extremely exhausted, but when you're like, okay, I think I'm ready to wake up. I don't know, maybe. No, honey, it's 3 a.m. You're not ready to. I'm not ready for you to wake up, so you need to go back to sleep. And then if you reinforce that, then, you know, he's going to learn. Why? Because extended, in any parent, it doesn't have to be an expert or, you know, researcher to know. It's like, you get that baby at 3 a.m., you're going to go to the room within 15, 20 minutes. You go, I don't really want to be awake. No, he just needs practice into becoming, you know, more. There's three skills on sleep training: learning how to go to sleep, to stay asleep, and wake up happy. So the ultimate one, the one that's going to give you the happy baby, the calm baby, the baby that enjoy their own company, is the 5 a.m. practice. So it's a lovely practice because it's going to give you the nicest, coolest baby. Yeah. But so just think of it. Okay. Make sure you're not missing anything. And then my baby needs more practice. But again, don't be like, no, I need to practice, you know, 5 a.m., 9 a.m. or what? No. Give yourself a mental break. It's like, okay, if I hear this kid crying all day and all night, I'm going to go nuts. So do the morning and maybe the morning nap or the morning and the afternoon nap, you know, ask for help. Hey, can you help enforce the nap while I go for a walk and have a Starbucks? Take care of your own mental health, because only when you're in your zone of nice and calm, can you help your baby, you know, really, really help your baby.
Right. Well, that's some really helpful information. So thank you for answering that. That's it for this segment of Go Ask Your Mom. Don't forget to DM us your submissions to Betches Moms on Instagram, or you can always email us at moms@betches.com. We want to hear all your scenarios.
Yeah. So that is our whole episode. Thank you so much, Susie, for coming on. Can you please share, your book is out right now. How can people find it? How can they find you? How can they hire your team or you?
Our website is thebabycoach.com. Our Instagram is thebabycoachofficial. And our new book is Room to Grow. Everything from 12 weeks all the way to elementary school age. And everything I like to say, everything I have learned throughout the years is right there. And lovely talking to you girls. Thank you for including me. It was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We had a great time.
That is it for this episode of Betches Moms podcast. Please don't forget to rate, review. Again, guys, it's really important when you give us a little review, a little rating on iTunes. We love it so much. Subscribe to the show on Apple and Spotify and follow us, Betches Moms, on Instagram. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.